Naturbüro War and Peace. Ambience, Sunday, May 30th, 2021, 9:15 a.m. at the Gelsenkirchen Carrier Pigeon Center, entrance area. Across from us are sheep in a meadow with a perch, forest. Recording.
We
really have a widely varied hobby. It starts on the 1st of January and ends on December 31st. The time in between is completely dedicated to our hobby. Lots of people say carrier pigeon breeders are dumb or stupid. No, it's just a hobby that makes us happy. We grew up without electronics. We needed a hobby. Kids today or young adults, they have other hobbies, other interests. But this is what we grew up with. In the racing organization in Gelsenkirchen, there are now about 30 racing lofts left. The heyday was in the 1950s, 1960s. When I was really active here back then, we had 264 racing lofts. And today there are only 30. I just turned 54. But you can see from that, we're slowly dying out. One guy just quit 2 weeks ago. He's 86 years old. He can't do it anymore due to his health. And that's how it's continuing. We, as the 54 or 55-year-olds, we're the youth group. And all of us walk with canes. One guy has a cough, another one has back problems, the other one has bad knees.
Hey. Diese Heimkehrwille. Das ist es.
This homing instinct, that's what it is. I always say it. The pigeons fly back to their home lofts. Lots of people say the pigeons gather in cities. Of course they do. There have always been pigeons. 4,000 years. Ours look very similar to city pigeons. And I would never deny that ours have propagated there. Of course. But our purebred carrier pigeons almost all come home on the weekends. We know that one or two get killed by hawks. We know that pigeons sometimes get attacked or injured or fall down in the city. We know that. But we pick our animals up. If someone reports a pigeon to me today, for example, in East Westphalia, then I drive down there and pick the bird up. That's my job. It's my property. So that's it. That's what's fascinating about it. My wife used to say to me, "You're crazy." But I wait for my pigeons. I don't even live here at the pigeon loft. I drive here on Sunday morning, go home at lunchtime, drive here again in the afternoon, and I don't come home until after it's dark. Because I have to see all my pigeons. I have to. I have no peace of mind if one is missing.
Also so verschieden die Vögel sind, so verschieden sind auch die Beziehungen zwischen Menschen.
As varied as birds are, so varied are the relationships between people and birds.
Beziehungen von Menschen zu Vögeln.
Or I should say, people's relationship to birds.
Viele Gründe, Vögel zu lieben.
There are many reasons to love
sich
birds.
Von ihnen angezogen,
you feel drawn to them or fascinated by them. And some of these reasons are diametrically opposed. There are people who keep birds more or less as livestock, like chicken farmers or pigeon breeders.
Hühnerhalter oder auch Taubenzüchter.
They like to have their birds very close by. They simply enjoy it when they can hold a bird in their arms or in their hands, feed them, give them a place to nest, and maybe have them under their control.
Und wenn sie sie ja vielleicht auch unter Kontrolle haben. Also der klassische Vogelkundler, Vogelkundlerin sind Menschen, die Vögel von fern.
On the other hand, classical bird watchers are people who observe birds from a distance, maybe with the help of binoculars to bring them a little closer. But it would never occur to these people to keep birds as pets. They're fascinated by birds precisely because they are so autonomous, because they are wild. Because they come and go, they fly to us or they fly away whenever they want to. Because they're unpredictable. Because when you go outdoors, you never know exactly what birds you might hear or see. Because they surprise us.
Welchen Vogel man hören oder sehen wird.
There are different temperaments even among bird watchers. Some of the families and species that have lots of fans are the birds of prey. Obviously, there's a reason for this. Birds of prey are large, they're striking, they're beautiful flyers, and they're very powerful. At the very first glance, you notice that these birds are strong, but they're also aggressive, and they can be dangerous. So it's no coincidence that eagles and falcons are very popular as heraldic animals.
Also, es ist kein Zufall, dass Adler und auch Falken beliebte Wappentiere sind.
Also wir hier, bei uns jetzt hier ist es der Habicht. Wir haben Riesenprobleme mit dem Habicht.
Where we are, it's the goshawk. In other regions, like Bottrop or Essen, it's more likely the peregrine falcon. We don't have those here. Peregrine falcons breed not far from here, but they leave us alone. For us, it's the goshawk. Every week at our racing organization, we have breeders who say, my pigeons came back injured, the feather's missing. It's inevitable. It's just the way it is at such long distances. It's unavoidable. There are birds of prey in the air, even where we live. The birds of prey will fly up soon. They can see for several kilometers, and they know when the pigeons are about to arrive. And then they fly up, and then the pigeons get attacked. Even at our home loft, they will get attacked. We just saw that last week. And it's like that here every week. I know about three places where the goshawk breed around here.
Plätze, wo sie am Brüten ist, aber immer
und the female goshawk can fly again now. When she's on the nest, she can hardly fly. Then the male comes and he kills a pigeon, but he can't carry it off with him. He's so small, he just eats a little and then takes the carcass away. But in June, when the female has her full plumage again, then she will come, like a real hunter. She attacks once or twice, and then she's got the pigeon. The peregrine falcon is even more extreme. It only needs to attack once. It dives out of the sky at 300 kilometers an hour.
Der macht ein, zwei Angriffe, hat er sie. Der Wanderfalke ist natürlich noch extremer. Der Wanderfalke braucht nur einen Angriff, dann hat er sie meistens. Weil der fällt mit 300 km/h vom Himmel.
Also manchmal findet man auch noch eine kleine Habichtfeder. Dann da, ne? Die hat er dann einfach verloren.
Sometimes you even find a little goshawk feather that it's just lost. Or you see talon marks on the ground. That's also typical. And you often see injuries to the wing feathers, because those are the spots where they grip their prey. The hawk usually comes in from the side, and it squeezes the wings tight. So there are a number of signs that can tell you what actually happened.
Zeichen, wie man am Ende dann auch darauf kommt, was ist hier eigentlich passiert. Der Habicht hat einen sehr kräftigen Körperbau.
The goshawk has a very strong body structure. It doesn't have such long, slender wings. It has rather short, wide, round wings and a very long tail. This lets it hunt under cover. It has to be very, very flexible. It has to fly in very sharp curves. It doesn't just hunt pigeons. It also hunts squirrels, for example. The squirrels flee in spirals around the trunk of a tree. And the goshawk flies after them in spirals. Sometimes it flies two-thirds of the way around the trunk of the tree, and then it takes a shortcut and grabs the squirrel. It flies into bushes, through forks in trees. It pulls its wings close to its body. That's why it needs these short, wide wings and the long tail that it then has to spread very wide. It has very, very strong legs and a very striking head. That makes it very handsome.
Auch sehr gut aussehend. Der Habicht, der frisst.
The goshawk eats what it needs, and it kills pigeons when it's hungry or when its babies are hungry. But it doesn't eat or kill more than it needs. That doesn't happen with the goshawk.
Und frisst oder tötet jetzt nicht mehr, als braucht. Das gibt's eigentlich beim Habicht auch nicht.